The calling with which you were called. You guys don't do this. There's somebody else did this. One time, a few years ago, somebody came up to me after service and said, "You preached that sermon before." And I was like, I don't remember ever preaching this before, but I've been preaching 40 years. I probably did preach it before. And guess what? I really did preach this one the last time I preached. The calling with which you were called. And it's a huge deal to me. You know, I think that I want us to get a different picture of the calling, because I think a lot of us are the way we think when we hear the calling, like, what's my calling? Well, I'm called to be a pastor, or I'm called to be a engineer, or I'm called to be a dad or a mom, or I'm called to be, and it's like we have these definitions of our callings. But what I want to talk to you about today is way, 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 way bigger than that. It's a much higher calling. It's a much deeper calling than just what we do. It's bigger than that. And that's what I want to talk about today. And so I love this verse. I started with this verse last time. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore... Now, Alan Vincent taught me years ago, when you see a therefore in Scripture, you need to ask the question, what's the therefore there for? Like, okay, so because of what Paul previously said in the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters, he said, because of this, this. So that's what Paul's saying. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, beg you, implore you, urge you. Paul was like, guys, you have to know this. I'm begging you. And he's begging you to what? To walk worthy of the calling. Walk worthy of the calling. We see, I think we need to understand what the calling is. What's the calling of God he's talking about? And when you read that word walk worthy there, it's literally, you could read it this way if they just explain the whole thing out. It's like, because of the calling on your life, this is how you walk. This is what it looks like. I'm beseeching you to walk in the way that's released into your life through the power of God and through the Holy Spirit. And like all Kelly was dealing was telling you, that's the Holy Spirit. I'm really scared to death to talk in front of people, and I don't know what to say. And the Holy Spirit comes and gives Kelly the thoughts and the ideas. And guess what? The same thing's true of you. Every good thing you've ever experienced is a coming as a source from God the Father. Your kids, your family, your health, your provision, your everything in your life, any kindness that you've ever experienced comes from God. He's good, and all goodness comes from Him. And so it's what he's talking about. So he said, walk worthy. I'm begging you to walk worthy of the calling which you're called. So I think we should look at it. I want to look at it again, and I want to go back, and I'll say, you know, that therefore is there for a reason. You see, we have a choice. We can either live by faith in what the Bible says, what God says, or we can live by our own self-effort and power and strenuous activity and work and self-control. We get to choose which way we want to live. You can either live by faith in what Jesus has given you. You see, the Word describes that. You know, the Word, this Bible that we call a lot of, in our world, we call this the Word of God. You know, the Word of God teaches us about the Word, which is Logos, the Word of God. His name's Jesus. And so we can either live by, I wrote this word down and I looked it up. It's like, we can live in subjugation. And I'm like, God, why did I write down that word? So I looked it up in the dictionary. You know what subjugation means? It means this. To bring under domination or control, especially by conquest. You see, how we live is going to be determined by what we believe. That determines how we live. And we can live in subjugation to our circumstances, to the physical facts of our world. We can live in subjugation to the judgments we have on ourselves and others have on us. Or we can live another way. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And Jesus did this. You see, you can live in subjugation. Now remember that word, I said, God, that's crazy. I'm using that word and I didn't even really know what it meant. It means being under control, being dominated, being forced by someone that's conquested you. You can live that way, or you can live in freedom. And I want to live in freedom. I don't want to live that way. You see, what so often, guys, I want to tell you, if you don't do this, it's a miracle. And it is a miracle if you don't do it. Anytime we don't do it, it's a miracle. We live by the physical state which we find ourselves in. That's how we judge ourselves, by what our circumstances are, by what we've done, by what we have, by what we look like, by what we've accomplished. That's how we live. We live by this thing of, well, did I sin today or did I not sin today? Is you know, and it really becomes it's instead of living by our position, our stance in life, we live by our state of being. You can either live by who you are, and I want to tell you who tells you who you are. The Scripture tells you who you are, and Jesus Christ tells you who you are. And by faith, are you going to live by your circumstances, by your stance, by the evidence? We could say that, by the worldly evidence, the physical evidence. Are you going to live based off of what you see, or are you going to live based off of what heaven says? You know, God tells us, fix our eyes on things above. Fix your focus on things above. And most of us fix our focus in the mirror we're looking at, and the things we judge ourselves by, and by what we accomplish or don't accomplish or whatever. And God doesn't want us to do that. You see, this high calling we have, instead of it being a burden, it's actually the most freeing thing you'll ever understand. Maybe the most important thing you find in Scripture is the high calling. Because Jesus said who we are. The Scripture says who you are. And we get to choose whether we believe it or we believe the evidence. And you know what evidence is? Physical flesh stuff. That's what it is. And Jesus said, keep your eyes fixed on heaven, on above. Get your eyes off of this stuff and fix your eyes on me. And, you know, our state of being varies day by day, doesn't it? Like some days we're happy, some days we're not happy. Some days we're stressed out. Some days we have bills due. Some days we've got a letter from the government saying we owe money we can't pay. You know, that changes every day. And then other days it's all good. You know, like I like family night soup and salad. I love soup. That's going to be a great day. I'm going to be happy that day. My whole happiness is based on what happens to me that day. What a wishy-washy way to live. Determined by the rain or not the rain. Determined by whether I get something I want or don't get something I want. Or determined by whether I... No, I would rather live determined by who I am. And who I am is just determined by Him. And He doesn't change. He's without fault. And so I look at that. This high calling we have is so high that even if you were perfect, you could never get there. Well, I thought God wanted us to be perfect. No. The only way you'll ever get to this place is through faith and by grace. It's a gift. You know, Jesus said it this way, unless you're born again. Well, I can't make that happen. You see, this stance, you know, it's funny. You know what religion's based on? Religion literally is based on fear. It's focused on fear and performance. That's what religion's about. You see, we're not in a religion. We're in a relationship. We're in a family. We're in a marriage. We're in a body. It's like my value and worth isn't determined by my state. My value and worth is determined by my position in Christ. Did you know that you're in Christ? And that means that if you're in Christ, everything that's true about Christ is true about you too. When God looks at you, He sees you the same way He sees Jesus. And I look at that, and you see, so religion, though, isn't like that. Religion is do this, do that, do this, do this, do that, do this on time, do this well, don't do that, da da da. That's what religion is. It started in the Garden of Eden with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's religion. It's based on fear and performance. Is that how you live? Do you look at your performance at the end of the week or the end of the day? Or like, do you look at your performance and determine whether your value and worth? Do you look at your performance and determine who you are? Yeah, but I failed. Listen, that's not who you are. Or do you trust Jesus? It's by faith we are saved through grace. Y'all know that verse. By faith you're saved through grace. But most of us could change that word faith and put performance or acts or whatever it is we look at. You see, the high calling that Jesus is, that Paul's talking about here, it only comes through Jesus Christ. It's a manifestation of God's grace in our lives. That's who we are. Now, I love this next verse, Romans 11:29. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Now, I know we apply that verse to music ability, praying for the sick. We apply it to individual gifts. But this high calling Paul's talking about is not that. This is a greater calling. And this calling of God on your life can't be stopped, can't be taken away, can't be destroyed. The devil can't stop it. Nothing in this earth, nothing in heaven or earth can stop the calling of God in your life and my life. Now, that's a truth. What determines whether it makes any difference is whether you believe it or not. Because we live by faith through grace. What's faith? It's believing things that are hoped for, things that aren't seen. So guys, I'm about to tell you what this high calling is, and you're not going to believe it, but you can choose, you can repent of what you think and choose to agree with what God thinks. So I love it that it's irrevocable. Okay, y'all know what irrevocable means? Yeah, he can't undo it. Well, I'm telling you right now, me and you think we can. But when the God of the heavens says that we can't undo it, I choose to believe Him based not what I'm looking at. It's faith. I choose to have faith. So I love this. Here we go. So we're going to go back to Ephesians 1, right? We've been to this verse a lot of times. I'm staying here because I'm trying to get this. Personally, I'm trying to get this. I really am. I'm like, okay, God, I have a calling, and here's my calling. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So sometimes, if y'all get a birthday card from me, sometimes from the church, if you're if we have your address and stuff, we'll send you a birthday card. And a lot of times I'll say, oh God, please bless Tommy today. I'm like, well, that's a little redundant if he has every blessing in heaven already. It's like, we're asking God for blessings that he said we already have. Well, what's the problem? Well, we're supposed to pray that God blesses people. I understand that. I'm okay with that. But I'm telling you what the scripture says is, you are already blessed by God with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You know what our problem is? We're fighting a battle of faith to believe what God says is true. Because you know what faith does? It releases the power of God into our lives on this earth. Now, in heavenly places, when you get to heaven, you've already got those blessings. You don't need to be healed. You don't need anything. But on earth, God has this plan he set up. He said, we live by faith. And here's what happens. As you're growing and you're going to come to faith that this is true. And every time you believe more and more, because faith comes from the Lord, it's Jesus' faith, not ours. He gives you faith to believe. Like, oh God, you're like I'm battling. I'm battling with this. I run out of words for my thoughts. Does anybody else do that? Okay, any other men do that? I don't know, you girls never run out of words for your thoughts. Yeah, only like, yeah, I have thoughts, and they're not in English, and I can't speak them, and I need to speak them. And you guys aren't going to understand if I can't speak the thoughts. And God said, well, who, you know what I mean? God's blessings on my life do not depend on my ability to say what I'm thinking that's not in English. And I'll speak in tongues. I don't know if it helps or not. But I do know this. If I believe God's going to bless you without my participation, if I believe, then He is. Well, Alan, you got to be able to, I can't understand you. Oh, no. You don't understand. This is about the Spirit of God. This is about the God, the man who created everything. He can communicate to us way beyond physical language. And He does it through faith. Well, I'm not a good mom. I mean, look at me. Listen, it's not you. You believe God has called you to be a mom, and that's one of your things. He's already blessed you with every gift you need to do that in heavenly places. The battle is for you to believe you are. And if you're like me, I can judge myself in a thousand ways to one. I can dissect and analyze, and I can think of all the things I don't think of that I can't say. And I don't know what they are, but I know I'm not saying them. Y'all judge yourself that way? And God said you've been blessed with every blessing. Why are you worried about the bills? Why are you worried about the bills? Well, because we're supposed to beg God to help us. If we beg enough, He'll do it. No, if you believe He's already done it, He'll do it. It's about believing. That's why Paul is begging us to believe it. He said, walk worthy of this. God said, Alan, why don't you rejoice just as much before it happens as you'll rejoice after it happens? Because the truth is, I've already given you every blessing in heaven. I've already given to you. I'm like, well, dang, I should be pretty happy then. I should be ecstatic. I should be all giggly and chingly and, you know, goosebumpy and all that stuff. Well, you know, the same thing's true for you. Whatever it is you're worried about, you need to talk to Him about it because He's already done it. Whatever you need a blessing for, Jesus said you've already been blessed by it. He's just waiting for a human to believe and to have faith. And when you step out on faith, He puts, all of a sudden, you know when you get to walk on water? It's when you step on the water. You know who gets healed physically? The people who need a physical healing before they get healed. Guys, God has put us here on this planet to bring glory to Himself because He likes to stand around and say, listen, she's my daughter. He's my son. These are my kids. And I'm a good dad. And watch me get glory by blessing them and the world through them. But we aren't going to walk in those blessings if we don't have faith. He's already done it. He's already done it. Do you believe it? So I love, here's another great verse, Ephesians 1:4. The same way as He chose us in Him, He chose you in Christ. Have any of you ever had a gold, really nice pocket watch, like antique pocket watch, like the kind you wind, those old kind? I had one. I still have one. I don't really know where it is, but I've got it. I used to use it all the time for my watch, right? And, Jeannie's on the front row. Somebody in the building, I left my pocket watch in my pants pocket where I kept it all the time. And somebody washed it. That person didn't wash my pocket watch. The person washed my blue jeans. And my pocket watch was in the blue jeans. So everything that happened to my blue jeans happened to my pocket watch. It cost me some money to get it fixed. Do you know that you're in Christ? That's what the scripture says. God chose you in Christ before the world was created. So everything that happens to Jesus happens to you. And I know some of you are thinking, yeah, I feel like I'm being crucified. I'm getting beat. No. Only Jesus is the only one that happened to. All the blessings of God that happened to Jesus happened to us because we're in his pocket. So when Jesus got washed, you got washed. When God looks at Jesus and smiles, he looks at you and smiles. When he thinks about you, he sees you the same way he sees his son. Now, there's only one Jesus. You're just in him. And I'm in him. And if I'm in him, the blessings are right around the corner. Do you think I determine the outcome of my life? Or does he? I believe he does. Guys, some of us need to repent right now. You need to repent. Remember that repent, that word, metanoia, together with knowledge, together with logic, together with thinking. Repentance is when I choose to think together with him. I used to think my performance and my lack and my problems and my blah, blah, blah determine the outcome of my life. I choose not to think that anymore. I now believe what he does and what he says and who he is determines my outcome. Yeah, but can't you look back and see all your failures? I choose to look at him. That's why he says, take your eyes off of yourself. Take your eyes off of your circumstances and fix your gaze in heaven. And you know what you're going to see? The truth. You're okay. There's nothing from your past that can stop you. There's nothing you ever have to be ashamed of. Because when Jesus looks at you and the Father looks at you, he sees you. He sees you in Christ. And he knows who you are. Now, this is cool. He didn't only do that. He says that you're holy and without blame. Well, I'm trying to be holy. I'm trying to quit cussing in my mind. Some of you already quit verbally, but you still do it in your mind. Okay, some of us still do it in our mind, and so we quit verbally. But I'm trying to stop. And I'm eating too much, and I had way too much sugar yesterday, and I got mad, and blah, blah, blah. And so all this stuff, and you know what? I'm trying to be holy. Stop it. You're in Christ. He sees you as holy. Quit dissecting the Bible and looking at it through the lens of religion. Get rid of your sin consciousness. Did Jesus pay for all sin? Yes. Jesus said, why don't you focus on what I say, who I say you are, what I've done? Why don't you put your eyes on me and take your eyes off this? You know what happened when Peter, when he got out on the water with Jesus? Wasn't that amazing? Peter, loudmouth, boisterous Peter, he walked out on the water, and those other guys were just like, Peter is doing it. And he's looking at Jesus, and Jesus is like, come on, Peter. And then Peter did the same thing that you and I do every day. I get my eyes off of what Jesus says, and I start looking around me. And then all of a sudden, I'm stressed out, I'm worried, I'm angry, I'm ashamed. I can prove to you how bad I am. Or are you going to trust Jesus? That you need to repent. So do I. I'm like, God, I was I embarrassed myself a little bit this morning, but nobody was here. It was like 4:30 this morning, and I'm in here, I'm praying in here, and I said, God, I really do want people to understand what Paul's saying. But God, I know I can't put it in words. Then God's just like, well, it's not up to you. And I was like, it's not up to me? I always thought it was up to me. He said, oh, no, it's up to you believing. I said, okay, so God, I mean, I'm just sort of logical with God. I'm practical. I just talk to him. I'm like, God, if I believe you're going to do that, then you're going to do it? He said, oh, yeah. And I was like, hallelujah, hallelujah. I went around. I was like Harvey there for a little while. I was like, I've never done that like out loud in public, but I'm like, I've been here and I'm done. I'm like, God, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm happy. And all the pressure's gone. Well, it may not mean much to you, but wouldn't you like to live a life at rest with no pressure? That who you are is good? That you can trust what he says? You can trust the word that talks about the word, Jesus Christ, the Logos? Yeah, you can trust him. So he, not only before him in love, he's predestined us as sons. Listen, that is a pretty high calling. You see, your calling has positioned you in heaven at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning with him. Well, wait a second. I'm not Jesus. I didn't say you are. You're not. But he's waiting for you to sit beside him in heaven on a throne and rule and reign. He's wanting to release his power in the world through you. In whatever you're doing. You see, but your position, your high calling is to reign with him as a king. That's your calling. Well, I thought my calling was this. Oh, no, it's way more than that. You're called to be seated in heaven with Christ. You're called. He made us holy. He made you righteous. He set us free. That's who we really are. And, you know, I think sometimes, you know, why we still struggle with stuff? And because we're in this process of growing in faith. You know how you change your life? By faith. Well, no, you got to do something. No, it's by faith, through grace, that the something happens in your life. It's all him. It's all him. And so he adopted you as sons. And you know why he did it? This is so crazy. I can't think of the word for that. It's probably a good thing I can't. You know why God did this? Because it made him happy. It made him happy. He's happy to save you. He's happy to set you free. He's happy to place you in heaven on a throne, seated at the right hand of the Father. It makes God happy to do this. It was for his pleasure. I don't know if God giggles, but I think he might. He's like, look at him. He's starting to get it. Look at her. She's starting to believe what Jesus did for her instead of putting pressure on herself to do something. Look at him. He actually believes. You know what? We used to have these hierarchies in our lives, right? Like, you know, there's Billy Graham. There's whoever your heroes were in the faith. There's all these heroes in the faith. And we think there's a hierarchies. But God said, you are seated with Christ in heaven on a throne. There's no hierarchy. We're all the same. And we're all kings. We're all princes. We're all ruling and reigning with Christ. We're all in Christ. There's no less than or greater than. We're all at the top level. Every one of us. You can't name somebody who Jesus didn't do that for. But we don't believe it. We're learning, we're growing in faith. And that's okay. It's okay if you're not there yet. It's okay if I'm not there yet. It's okay that I know there's still... See, I'm already there. I'm just getting there. I'm getting to where I already am. Now, this is a great verse. I stole it from the New Living Translation. It would be the word grace, okay? That word... Okay, here's where it changes. Because of our faith, as we live by faith, and our faith is his faith, he gives it to us, Because of our faith, Christ has brought us. Is there anybody in here that's not included in us? Well, if you're human, most of us are, then you're included. You're in the pocket. You're like my pocket watch. You're fixing to get washed. He's brought us. He brought us. This is so focused on Christ that it takes away all responsibility from us. It's so focused on Him that any good thing comes from Him. Any faith, any belief, anything comes from Him. It's so much Him. He said, listen, Christ brought us here. He brought us into this place of grace. Most versions translated that the word grace. I love this one because it's undeserved privilege. You and I have been brought into a place we didn't earn, we didn't deserve, and it's privilege. God looks at you as His son, as His daughter. Jesus looks at us as His bride. Undeserved privilege. It's like if the Waltons, you know the Walton family, not the old TV show. The Sam Walton's family up in, they're like the richest, one of the richest families in the world, right? In Northwest Arkansas. Do you know that if you were a member of that family, your life would be different? Like you wouldn't just have $1 million, you'd have millions of dollars. Your life would be different. Why? Because you were born into that family. If we were in England and you were born into the royal family, guess what? You don't have any choice. You're royalty. It's who you are. You might as well embrace it. You might as well enjoy it. You know, if you're born in the Walton family, you're a multi-millionaire. Guess what? You know what? When I go to the Walton Art Museum, there's places I can't go in that museum. I even had a guard once sort of get on to me. I don't even know what I did. There's stuff you can't do in there. And I'm thinking, but you know, if I was one of the Walton kids, I could go in any room I wanted to, do anything I wanted to. I could even take that painting off the wall and take it with me if I wanted to. You see, you have rights because you're a son. You have rights because you're a part of a family. My car is your car. My house is your house. My bank account is your bank account. We have rights. You're a part of this family. You have undeserved privilege in this world because you're a son of the King. But we don't believe it. So it'd be like having a checking account with tons and tons of money in it, and you never write a check. Well, the money's there, but you never drawn on the account. Guys, you and I don't, you know how we draw on this account that God did? By faith. Do you believe who He says you are? Do you believe that what Jesus did was enough for you? You see, God asked us to believe. That's where we're at right now. He's called us because, like Paul said in Romans 5:2, God's glory. This is all about His glory. When He blesses you, He receives glory. When He lives through you, He receives glory. When He creates life where there's no life, He receives glory. Titus 3:4 is really a great little passage. And it's true. Do you know that your standing, your place, your position on earth is not by the works you've done? God's view of you is not by your works. Your future is not determined by your works. That's religion. It's determined by faith. God loves you. Will you receive His love? Will you believe what He did for you? And will you walk in that? The calling with which you were called puts you in a place of undeserved privilege. What Jennifer encouraged us to do during worship today was God wanting to stir up the gifts in this room. Because God knows that everybody in this room, every one of us carry something. And he just let it, Jennifer just gave us an opportunity to give away what we carry. You know, Jesus wants to do something in your life. Your performance, your activity, your state will line up with what you believe. It's not you perform to become what God says you are. And I think that's where religion gets us trapped, especially us Americans with Western ways of thinking. We think we have to work to become a favored child. We think we have to work to please our dad. We think we have to work to receive the blessings that God's poured out for us in heaven. But when you read these verses, they're all past tense. God's already done this. What determines whether we have any, whether we experience it on earth, is whether we have faith. But the faith is not what you think it is. Do you believe? Do you have faith in what Jesus did for you? Do you have faith that God's made you holy? Do you have faith that God's made you righteous? Do you have faith that God's already blessed you? We don't have to beg Him. He's already blessed us. And as we grow in believing how what He's done, He's able to release that into our lives on earth as it's done in heaven. So today, I want it as it's done in heaven to be done on earth. We were sold a bill of goods, guys. We were told it all comes sometime in the future, way out there. That's not what the scriptures say. Jesus said, I've already done it. I did it before I created the world. It's already done. So, guys, you need something from God. You might try this. Have faith in what you know He's already done and watch Him do what you need done on earth. I'll talk more about this because it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So let's all stand up. I'm sort of excited. Like, I don't know if y'all are excited. Y'all should be excited. You know, family night is a great knock. I love we're having this. You know, when you come to family night, what happens? I've watched people. Like, if you're in one of these ladies groups, they have two groups. When you show up, you know what they're going to do? They're going to value and love you, whether you want them to or not. It's crazy. If you go to Chris Hoffman's group, guess what's going to happen? They're going to just wrap you in their arms, and they love you. And I watch the men's group, which is really weird. You will feel honored and valued and of worth if you go to that men's group. And the same thing happens with the teenagers and with the children. You see, that's what God's about. I love family night because you guys look at people the way Jesus looks at them. I never worry about that. You don't pay attention to whatever mess they're in. That's not who they are. That's earthly junk. I want to look at people through the eyes of Christ. Like Paul said, you know, I used to look at Jesus through worldly eyes. He said, I don't do that anymore. And he said, I don't look at anybody else that way either. Because you know who you really are? Who He says you are. What He describes in Scripture, that's who you really are. You may not be acting at it like it. And you know why we don't act like it? It's because we don't believe it. If you believe it, then that releases God's grace in your life, undeserved favor. So God wants to do something in your life. Your battle is believing that He did. So I just want you to be free. Whatever it is, if you need to repent this morning, we'll have somebody up here that wants to pray with you. Harvey's leaving with a group Thursday to go to Guatemala again. We'll all be praying for Harvey. He'll have a great week. They already have. Tony Taylor's been putting stuff on the internet. They've got healing services planned. It's going to be great. They've got this big poster with Harvey's face in it. It's like giant. Yeah, he's famous in Guatemala. So y'all be praying for Harvey. This morning, if you need to repent, if you're struggling with believing who Jesus says you are, Let one of these guys pray with you this morning, okay? So God, I just thank you for today. I thank you for the freedom that you've given us. Jesus, that you have already blessed us with every blessing, and that we're in Christ, not because of anything we've done or didn't do, but because of you. So God, I just praise you. God, I praise you for what it means to us to be in Christ. God, I just ask you to keep setting us free from all the ways we've judged ourselves, from all the ways other people have judged us. For your honor, God, is for your glory. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for being here this morning. God bless you guys.